and welcome to this HMP Governance Lab podcast. I'm Holly Charman, and I'm going to be talking to you today about qualitative methods, particularly about observations. What are observations? How can we do them in a systematic way? And how can we integrate observation into the research projects that we're undertaking? So in the social sciences, we have a long history of observation because we are quite often looking at the real world and naturalistic settings rather than experimental studies. We are dealing with real people. And so one way to get a bunch of rich information, particularly contextual information, is to observe what they're doing. And so in every interview that I do, I'm observing my interviewees. I'm observing their surroundings. I'm trying to understand a little bit about the context in which the interview is taking place. In my focus groups, I am taking a look at relationships and dynamics within the group. So I'm observing the context and the different cues and body language of each of my participants. And in the context of case studies, I'm taking a look at important big things like environmental context, societal context, and trying to embed my findings within that context. So observation is an integral part of what I do. I also want to say that I could do this in a more structured way, and some qualitative researchers will do that. They will include structured observations that are systematically done, and they'll incorporate that into their project either as the main research method or as an additional research method alongside interviews, focus groups, or a case study. So it is an important part of your qualitative methods toolkit. Now, observation provides richness to the data in particular, and you would be surprised, and I hope that you'll try this out and experiment in your friendly contexts with family, flatmates, friends, on Zoom, classmates, whatever, and try out some observations. I think you'll be surprised by how rich the data is from observing and how it can actually inform your findings. So, what are the main reasons that we use observation in qualitative studies? So I've already mentioned context about five times. That's the main one. But we are also trying to check against subjective reporting. Your interviewee might be telling you one thing, but their body language might be telling you something quite different. And so as an interviewer, you are somewhat using your bullshit detector to see, does their body language kind of fit with what they're saying? You might also be trying to understand the context from your own perspective. So you're adding your perspective and layering that on to that of your participants. So it's a form of triangulation in a way. You're trying to understand the research problem in a very immersive way. So everybody should be doing observation in their study, even if that observation is at the point of interview or in a focus group or just walking around the neighborhood where you're doing the study. If you have the opportunity to go around and actually see the place where you're interviewing, see the place that you're researching, understand some of that context, you should absolutely take it. You also might want to understand the impact of physical settings on the outcomes of interest. So, for example, if you are interested in studying urban housing or homelessness, you need to get out there and understand the actual physical context for your study. And so you might well want to use observations as a really integral part of your research project in order to do that. The other way that immersion can help you is understanding personal interactions. So you might want to just sit in a public place and observe interactions and try and understand patterns of use, for example, is a very common way to use observation. So you might be looking at how people use a shared space and how they interact with each other in that space and with other objects and the environment. Also, another use for observations is if you don't have access to particular individuals and interviews are not necessarily much of an option for you. You might choose some observations to try and understand at least some of the context in which the phenomenon of study is taking place. So these are some of the reasons why we use structured observations within a research project. And I strongly encourage you to think about this, because I think a lot of people put in a lot of time observing during their qualitative research project, but they never get the credit for it. They go to meetings, they attend briefings, they go to public events, they hang out in public spaces, they go visit hospital lobbies, they do this observation as a means of creating good quality qualitative findings, but it's very frequently not recorded in the research methodology. And so thinking of yourself as a field researcher, and that your field of study is quite broad and contains houses and buildings and people and society and shared public spaces, I think can add a lot of richness to your work. So having said all this, how do we do this properly? Because we want to do this well, right? I know that you're all ambitious and want to produce good quality findings. How do we do that? So let's think about the qualities of a good field researcher first. First of all, again, I think this comes down to self-reflection and having a good sense of self and how you fit in or not with the research context. So hopefully you are by this point an open, reflective researcher that is open to all kinds of new information, and you're not immediately going to judge it according to the beliefs and ideas that you hold. That's quite an important thing for a field researcher. And we'll talk in a minute about some techniques that you can use to facilitate that in your note-taking and your recording of the observations. But ideally, you should start from a point of openness to new things. That means you also have to have a good memory. So a lot of the time in observations, you might not necessarily be taking notes. So there are circumstances where you'll be taking lots of notes in a field guide and jotting things down. Like, for example, if you're taking notes on patient-physician interactions in a medical office setting, right? Or you're sitting in a medical reception and you're trying to understand how people use the space. It's perfectly legitimate in those cases, with appropriate consent, to use a field guide and jot down a bunch of notes. There might be other times when you are observing and you're going to observe things in context, in a meeting, in a public event, in a setting where you're interacting with others, where you're going to maybe go somewhere, someplace more private afterwards immediately and record notes. So a good memory really helps. Even when you're taking down notes in a field guide in a nice systematic way, it takes a bit of practice to do that well. You're going to miss out a bunch of things. And so it's good practice to both take notes during the time you're observing and to do, as you would for interviews or a focus group, a kind of summary memo of what you're observing after the fact. So a bit like I said for interviews, one way to do this would be to take your field guide notes after the observation is done. Retreat to some comfortable place for you that might be maybe more private, and go through, write a memo to yourself, write some notes about what you observed. And again, we'll get into some note-taking tips here, because as you might have guessed, recording your observations is a big part of the battle here, and makes a big difference in the quality of the information that you create. So openness to new information, good memory. The third thing is really you need some discipline to do observations. This is not a thing for slackers. You have to maybe put a lot of time in. When you look at good studies that involve observations in a medical setting, they quite often include hundreds of hours of observation. Now, that doesn't mean your project has to do that, but you have to prepare for this to be a time-intensive thing where you are going to be immersed in the environment in which you're studying. And it takes a bit of time to get used to that and to plan for it appropriately. So openness, good memory, discipline. Finally, the thing that underpins all good qualitative research, self-awareness. So, you know, you do need cultural awareness or the willingness to figure out how to get there, and the openness to learn something about somebody else's different, distinct ideas. And so I think that's going to be a key part of doing observations well. So those are the qualities of a good field researcher. So hopefully you're carrying some of those with you right now, or you know which ones you want to work on a little bit more and practice. I would say it's a great time to go away and practice that in your safe spaces with your family, friends, neighbors, anybody who is kind to you and will let you practice your research skills on them. Now's a good time to go and do that. I also want to talk then about how we make sure the observations themselves are good quality. So there are some practical things that we can do to improve how we do observations. Again, in the planning phase, ahead of time, it's not as intensive as the planning phase necessarily for interviewees or for particularly for focus groups, but you still have to plan. I think I'm not a big fan of the idea that you should go blindly into the field with no preparation, which is the kind of romantic ideal sometimes that gets put forth about field research. I think that's a load of nonsense, partly because I think you can take a bunch of your preconceived ideas along with you, and that's how you get kind of nasty research that the researcher imposes their own views on another society, anthropology, I'm looking at you a little bit here, where there's, you know, not necessarily that self-awareness that I'm talking about. In the planning phase, I think it's good to know your topic and to have done some background research and to have a sense of what you're looking for, because I think this can save some time. It doesn't mean that you shouldn't allow yourself to be surprised by the new while you're in the field. That's not what I'm saying. But do be aware of potentially what you're observing and do some adequate preparation. I also think it can be wise to talk to those gatekeepers that might be appropriate for your research. So I've mentioned gatekeepers before in the podcast. I might be talking about people in positions of institutional responsibility, or I might be talking about people who are acknowledged generally as community leaders or have responsibilities in some other way. So in different settings, you might want to think carefully about how you talk to gatekeepers first, gain some trust, build an understanding, maybe form a research partnership before moving on to doing observations in the field more broadly. But it depends very much on the context. I think as a researcher working in public spaces, you have to acknowledge that you have the right to be there. You have the right to be there and make observations. Nobody really has in a public space, the right to hassle you necessarily, unless you're somehow annoying them or being necessarily disruptive in that public space, which I hope you're not. And so you as a member of the public can be in that space and can make observations. And it does mean you have to have a plan for dealing with people who might have questions about your presence, your observations, your project. And so we'll talk about that a bit more when I talk about the observation phase in a minute. But it's good to anticipate that in the planning phase and start thinking about how people might react to you. So know your topic, alert some gatekeepers, and think about how you're going to do the observations and the ethics of them. So not just the, am I in a public space or is this more of a closed community? Am I actually going to be a participant observer where I am actually maybe a member of that community or group or subset of people that I'm researching? And that's a bit more of an action paradigm where as a participant, I want to make structured observations that are not only of myself and my participation, but of others in the group. You have to think about how you're going to communicate all of that to group members. So in the observation phase, this is about, in part, being a good human being in every public and semi-public context. So don't be an idiot. don't go in and insert yourself in this context and be loud or obnoxious in any way. You're going to be discreet. You're not wanting to disturb people's normal routines in that space. You don't necessarily want to be particularly obvious. So standing there with a great big clipboard and a yellow fluorescent jacket is not necessarily a good plan in a lot of contexts. I guess that's more metaphorical. What I'm really saying here is be relatively inobtrusive. Think about how you're going to be in that space. So if it's a public space, you have a lot more freedom. If it is a space where you have permission from gatekeepers to be there, like a doctor's office, for example, you have to think about how you're going to contribute to the ease of the patient being in that space. You don't want to be intrusive. I'm sure all of you are professional enough that you can figure this out on your own. I think it's really important in the observation phase to tell the truth. And again, this is because while you're doing an observation, you might have people ask questions. You know, why are you sitting there? Oh, you've been there a long time. What are you doing? And so these can arise when somebody's just a bit nosy and asking you these things. Alternatively, someone in a patient-physician interaction might well have questions, and so that in that case you would need to have a more formal answer for them. But again, tell the truth. And you also could get questions if you are a participant observer, and here you have to think very carefully because you might be part of that group that you're studying, and so you're trying to make observations of the whole community. That said, you might have somebody asking you who is your friend or contact, and why are you doing these observations? What's going on here? What is this for? And so you need to be prepared to answer truthfully and clearly, and you need to think about how much you should disclose and at what points you should disclose that information. So in the observation stage of your study, you should know at what point you're going to disclose at the tipping point towards a substantive discussion about your research, that you're doing observations or you're doing a research project on this topic. And you might want to then also define, well, what's the tipping point between having an informal brief conversation with somebody in an observation setting because they're interested in your work, and actually leaning more towards, oh, well, I'd actually like to have a more in-depth conversation with this person. At which point does this become an interview? So you need to think about, well, really at this point, I've explained, well, this is the research I'm doing. They've said maybe, oh, that's so interesting. You know, I once experienced that and here's what I'm saying. And you might want to pause at that point and say, oh, you know, I would love to know more about this. I would really like to interview you a bit more. And so I'd like to give you an opportunity to think about that so that we can do that properly and ethically. So think about what the tipping point is between you observing and having a substantive discussion with your somebody in the research context about your project, and you should be disclosing at that point that you are actually doing research. And then what's the second tipping point towards an interview where you might want to have a more formal conversation with somebody, but at that point you really should make sure that you're pausing to allow informed consent. And you might want to think about that and plan all of that before the observation phase, and then be ready to execute that while you're in the research context doing your observations. So another important thing in the observation phase is maintain confidentiality. And so what that means is if you find yourself observing, but then lean into a conversation with somebody, somebody asks what you're doing, don't, whatever you do, tell them about something that somebody else did in the research context, even anonymously. You want to make sure that anybody who gives you information in a research context, that information stays confidential and anonymous. So just be aware of that. Gossiping, especially as a participant observer, is a bad idea because these are your long-term contacts and friendships potentially, this is your community potentially. You don't want to bias that relationship in the long term, and you certainly don't want to bias your research or put any of your potential participants at risk. So in the planning phase, in the observation phase, figuring out what you're going to do, when you're going to do it, and then carrying that out, these are all essential parts of good qualitative observations. But then another tricky thing is the recording phase. And here we have some good tips about how to think about recording your observations ahead of time and then how to actually do it in the field. So one way to think about this is you're probably in upfront going to be designing some kind of field notes sheet, some kind of response sheet that you're going to be filling in while you're doing the observation. And this can be quite a fun activity because you're taking a blank sheet of paper essentially and figuring out, well, how am I going to divide up this space in order to be able to take the notes I need to do good observations? Because you're not recording the scene on video, you're not recording the scene on audio, and arguably doing either of those things is not necessarily an ethical thing to do, depending on the context. But you're going to be recording using your notes and your memory. Now, that page you can divide up into different sections for different themes. You can choose to have some tick boxes or some concepts that you organize your thoughts around. You can choose to have thematically different parts of the page that record, like the physical environment or interactions between participants, anything like that. Another thing you can do if you are interested in counting things like counting interactions or other events, you can have a clicker. So quite often in an observation of, say, a new traffic scheme or some kind of interaction within a lobby, anything like that, you might make a click for every time you see a thing happen. And so that kind of observation can also be helpful, providing kind of some descriptive quantitative things to layer onto the rich qualitative stuff that you're finding. So record what's happening. Don't record what you think is happening or what you think will happen. Stick with, in the first instance, a record of what happens and try to make it quite descriptive and factual. And in theory, a great practice here is to separate your observations from the interpretations of those observations. So you can start doing that in your notes and in your field guide as you divide up the page and think about how you're going to record observations, record descriptive data, so what actually is happening in the space. And then after that, figure out, well, when I leave the space, how am I going to interpret what I saw? So I would say it's good to have like a field guide or a response sheet where you're filling it in at the time and then after the fact, after a few structured observations or after the end of the day or a session, depending on what your project is, you'll know what the appropriate amount of time is. Just in the same way as with an interview or with a focus group, you're going to be recording a memo for yourself, some field notes on how this is going and what you think is going on. And that's where your interpretation comes in. And the reason for that is your interpretation can be biased. And in an observational setting, you have to be aware that what you're observing, your thoughts about that could actually be biased, and you're not allowing the people interacting in that setting the opportunity to correct you. In an interview, you can ask them, so what I'm hearing is this, is that right? And they can check you and say, well, actually, no, it's a bit more like this. So you don't have that opportunity in an observation. And it's important to separate out in your notes and your practice the observation from the interpretation of that observation. I think, too, it can be helpful to write your field notes in such a way that other people with a similar level of background knowledge to you would be able to understand them. This is important, especially if you're working in a team or you're going to be sharing your notes with somebody else for some corroboration. So write your field notes for that team rather than just for yourself, because what you don't want is to be working with others and have them not understand at all what you recorded and wrote in that observation. It makes the information less useful and less generalizable. And in a team, ideally you have from the planning stage figured out collectively, what are we going to observe? How are we going to do it? And I'm hoping that you guys who are in my class are going to do a team observation during the course of this semester, so you'll get a chance to practice. Anybody else out there who might be listening, feel free to practice with your safe spaces, practice with your friends and family networks, and just do some observations in public and see where that takes you. I think, again, this is a craft skill which requires a little bit of practice to do well. But observations, I hope that you realize from this, can be so rich. They can tell you things that a person won't necessarily tell you straight to your face. They can tell you things about use of space. They can tell you things about context. And so I 100% think you should incorporate at least some observation into your qualitative methods toolkit and use it often. All right. Hopefully you'll go away and do some experiments. And so far, you've learned a little bit about interviewing, focus groups, archive documents, and hopefully you can add observations to that toolkit. And we're going to talk in the next session a little bit more about how these different things integrate with one another within an overall research design. Bye for now, and I'll see you then. This has been an HMP Governance Lab podcast. If you're interested in learning more about our research, come and find us at www.governancelab.org or follow us on Twitter at HMP Gov Lab.